Aren't you glad for that power that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed the revival services the past week? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited that that spirit will continue on. And what a tremendous, tremendous week we've had. And I thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for His men that He used and come and challenged us and encouraged their hearts. And so we're so thankful today for the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your goodness, Your blessings. We're so thankful, God, for Your mercy and grace. So thankful for that precious blood that Jesus poured out and shed on Mount Calvary, that we could have freedom of sins, from our sins. We could have eternal life and that hope of eternal life and that no-so hope. And I thank You for it, Lord. And I thank You for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit that encourages their heart and edges us along and tells us it's going to be all right and we can make it. And we have that hope and that blessed assurance of Jesus' return one glorious day. We're so thankful. So thankful for each one that's here. Thankful, Lord, for each one that came to the Easter egg hunt yesterday and everything that was done. Lord, we just thank You for that and pray, God, You'd have Your way today, that You'd move and minister as You see fit. And God, You'd touch us today, challenge us, encourage us. And Father, we'll leave different than we came in. We'll leave with a greater desire to serve You, a greater desire to be a witness, a greater desire to tell someone about You. Father, help us and help us in this service. And we invite You. And Lord, have Your way. Be in control. And God, I pray that we'll not quench the Spirit of God, that we allow You to use us in this service and in the ministry. And we love You and praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Today is As you've seen, and Brother Tim mentioned Palm Sunday, we're celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem a week before the crucifixion. And it's amazing that, as this Sunday symbolizes, that they throw down clothes and they throw down the palm branches and said, "Hosanna, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," and this singing praises, and then within a week, the same voices said, "Crucify him." And boy, see, if we're not careful, that'll happen to us. Not that we're crucified, but we'll be fired up this week, and within a week, we can be totally different. Amen. And so we have to be careful for that. But so thankful for Palm Sunday. And we'll have our board meeting this evening at 5 o'clock. Remember that. And then tomorrow evening will be the Appalachian Association. And keep that in mind. Wednesday will be our quarterly business meeting. Tuesday night will be our men's prayer here at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday will be our quarterly business meeting. And then remember Good Friday. It was for us, wasn't it? I thank the Lord that he came and died for us. And then next Sunday will be our Easter service. We'll have sunrise service at 7 o'clock, and some of the men and will get together and cook. They always do, so we appreciate that. And so sunrise will be at 7, and then our regular services will be at 10 like normal. And then our worship service will be at 10:45, no evening service. So keep all these in mind, and invite, and there's some more of these back there. Get some, let's get them all, and we'll bring more back tonight. Take them today, and we got our information on the back. Hand these out and invite as many people for next week's service. Wouldn't it be good to have a record crowd to come and hear the gospel and be part of our service? Did I miss any announcements? All right. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, remembering all of our names in the bulletin and in the prayer box. We'll take any special requests that you may have. Yes, remember Burgess Bryant, Harvey's brother. He's in the hospital also. Remember him. Family.
Thank you.
Wednesday. This is all that will. Let's come and gather around the altar this morning. All that'll come. What a privilege it is to be able to call upon the name of the Lord. Brother Steve Jones, would you lead us as we pray? Thank you.
Thank you.
ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Dan blamed me for holding Sunday school up, so I'm going to blame us at the service too. Amen. Would you pray, Brother Nathan?
Lord, we just thank you here for this beautiful day you provided, Lord, for us to come out and worship you. And we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray you be with the service today, and Lord, come and bring some message. Lord, I pray you be with this offering. That your name be uplifted. Bless the ones at the table given once today. Speak all in
the name of Amen.
I think I got my phone. Let's just all stand and sing 702.
When the road
Tell you what a blessed hope it is to know that your name's written down. Your name's on the roll. Praise the Lord. That's the only thing that matters in this life, or the most important thing. That if we go through this life and we go through it without Jesus, we've missed it all. And it's all about Jesus. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, be in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Also, read a couple of verses out of Matthew 21. But there was a, and this is kind of goes to mess, but a little boy one time, a boy had got old enough to get his driver's license, and he was wanting to get his driver's license. And he kept aggravating his dad about going and getting his license, and he had long hair. And his dad said, "If you get your hair cut, I'll take you and get your driver's license." And the little boy thought about it and come back a little later, and he said, "You know, Jesus had long hair." And the dad said, "Yeah, and he walked everywhere he went too." But this will make sense in a minute. But if you would stand with me, Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." Over in Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, I just pray you'll touch the old preacher boy. Lord, help me with this message. I pray for the anointing. I pray, God, you'd have your way and you'd empower us. And Lord, you'd bring about and teach us what we need today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever, most of y'all probably, I hope so anyway, are a lot more organized than I am. Have you ever looked for something and you knowed where, you thought it was in the garage or the basement or in the shed or something, and you look for it and you thought, now it's in a square box and it's got a red lid on it. And then you looked and you looked and you've turned everything upside down and come to find out it's a round box with a blue lid on it. Am I the only one that's ever done that? No, I think we've all been guilty. And see, that's what were the nation Israel was at this time, the Jews. They were expecting the Messiah to come. The Bible talked about him ruling with a rod of iron and being a leader and being the king and the ruler of nations. So they were looking for a political military man to show up. They was looking for somebody with authority. They was looking for a general, might say, some politician that was going to overthrow the Roman empire and set his kingdom up. And that is why that they were so blown away the way Jesus come in. They was expecting something totally different. And you know, a lot of folks today and through Christianity and stuff, they expect a lot of things different than it really is. And I remember when Max up here on the hill. And I went visit him a couple years, I guess, and we'd visit. Well, and he had been sick in the hospital, and he'd come home, and I went and visited. We'd been praying. I never will forget. I went in, and J.M. was with me, I believe. I went and went up beside of his bed, and he said, "Sign me up." And I said, "Well, it's a little different than that. You just don't sign on a paper or something." And I was able to lead him into prayer, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and I believe it took. I'm convinced, but people, we have things in our mind, differences and things that we expect, and it don't always go that way, does it? And we'll, I'm afraid as we have Christians even look and take Scripture, and we, the second coming may be a whole lot different in the rapture than what we think. A lot of people's got a lot of different beliefs, and I believe that according to the Scripture, why I believe what I do, but still yet, if we're not careful, we'll get our minds way out there. And that's what had happened to the nation Israel, and they were looking for a general. They was looking for a political leader, and so as we look here, I want us to look at who he was and where he came, and the title of the message is The Transportation of the Messiah. The transportation, and this was his means of coming in. And he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." And I want to look here and see this was the entrance with humility. Boy, that's the last thing that the Jews were looking for, was somebody coming humble and lowly riding in on a donkey. They was expecting him to come charging in, blowing the trumpets and a military movement. And they'd come in and they'd overthrow Rome and they'd take over and set up. But God, ain't you glad God does stuff a lot different than we think? I'm glad that he moves in hearts and changes people and moves in a way in the Bible we all have heard and talk about. God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? He changes people's hearts. He changes lives. And the things he does in his mysterious work, the way that he moves in our lives. He's used things to get my attention and to change me. And I shared this Wednesday night in a revival, and there was some probably not here, and I wasn't really going to share it, but the Lord just moved. But I was mowing my yard, and I had stopped to move vehicle or something, and as I got back on the lawnmower, I was on my phone, and I looked, and I'd read where that the Lady Vols had hired a new coach. And she had played with the three consecutive in the 90s, the three consecutive championship teams. Her name was Kelly Jolly, but now it's Kelly Harper. And so they had hired her, and they had interviewed the athletic director that was out at Missouri State where she had been, and I was reading through that. And right at the end of that interview, of that article, it said, his statement said was that, "She left our school better than it was when she came." And I'm going to tell you something. God touched my heart and stirred me and squeezed my heart. And I cried and I prayed sitting right there on the lawnmower of the change. And he said, "Why don't you pray that Marbleton will be a better place because you're there? Why don't you pray Mayberry Road's going to be a better place because you're there? Why don't you?" And see, that's the way God moves. That's the way the Spirit moves in our lives and our hearts. And I'm so glad today that He moves. And it's not something that's just written down that can't change. And He can move any way He wants to. Thankful that He stirs our hearts. I'm so thankful. But His entrance of humility. The Bible here says to rejoice greatly. I'm afraid we forget the rejoicing part. He said, "Rejoice greatly." This was to the Jews, but it's also, I think probably more so than them, was to the church.
The one that's going to establish the church is going to be the bride of Christ. Him was come in lowly riding on a donkey. I tell you today, the church of Christ ought to be rejoicing more than we ever have. We ought, especially this time of the year, we ought to get excited about the things of God. We ought to let the power of God resonate in our hearts and our lives, and we rejoice exceeding. The Bible says, rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Rejoice again. I say rejoice. When I believe it was the 70 had went out and Jesus had commanded them to go out and to preach and to cast out demons, and they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons were subjected to us in your name. And he said, you remember what he said? He said, don't rejoice because the demons were subject to you, but rejoice because your name's written down in heaven.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. That's what you rejoice about, that your name's written down in glory, that you don't have to suffer the troubles and the trials and the hardships of hell, and you don't have to go to that awful place, that your name's written down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, that ought to get us excited. That ought to make a bunch of Free Will Baptists want to shout a little bit. Amen. See, and he goes on, he says, rejoice, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Boy, I tell you, thinking about the king. And when we think about kings and we think about all of the things that comes with a king. And I remember when the nation Israel was wanting a king, and they went to the prophet. And the Lord said, I want to be their king, but I'll give them a king. And he's going to take their sons. He's going to take their daughters. They'll have to pay taxes. And he told all of the things that would happen. Well, sure enough, when the kings come in, that's exactly what they started doing. And the king has the say. But most of the time, it's to their benefit. Amen. They set up and they live in royalty. And the ones out on the streets starves to death. And we see that when people sets up and the kings and monarchs and they set up. And I remember them saying, showing on TV when the United States went in with Iraq. And it showed Hussein's palace. And the people were starving to death. Well, I'm glad there's a king come and say, behold, thy king. And he come in, and he didn't come in to set it up for him, for his benefit. He came in for our benefit. He came in that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came in to give us peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took the whipping so that we could have peace. He said, by his stripes we are healed. He took it for our healing. He brought the things in, the peace and that passes all understanding, comes through the person of Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad he didn't come in and say, build me a big temple. Build me a big something over here. He said, I don't need a big temple. All I need is your body, and I'll move into your body, and that temple of you will be enough for me.
Yes.
Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, I like serving a king like that. I don't know about you. Praise his name. Praise the Lord. The king cometh. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14 and 15, the Bible said that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed, the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now he's already showed us when he got out of that grave who he is. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when there's not going to be no doubt about it in anybody's mind.
And I'm going to talk about that a little further on in the message, but he is the potentate, the rulers, the of great authority, mighty in authority. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Not a limited power, not power a short time, all power. Woo! That's a, he's king. He's the ruler. He's God. He's number one, and he ought to be number one in our lives. Isaiah chapter 9, it goes, "Said, for unto us a son is born." But in verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Praise his holy name this morning. That there'll be no end. He sets up. It's already started. But one day that when things come a pass, he'll sit on the throne and rule the nations. But glory, hallelujah, there's never going to be an end to his rule. He's always been in charge. He's in charge right now, and he always will be. The Bible also goes on to say, "Behold, your king cometh. He is just." Now see, I like that. I like that. I'll tell you, and I've shared with you, it's been a long time maybe, but Rhonda and I went to Brazil to see the Acox, and we got pulled over. And there was some kind, they was trying to get a bribe out of David is what it was all about. But they come out, and we had a bunch of luggage, and they were going to make us get all of our luggage out of that van and walk to the next town, catch a bus there, and go to, and then take us a bus, get another one to take us all the way in to Barbacena, two and a half, 3 hours away. And man, we were all to pieces. We'd been in the country of Brazil for about an hour, hour and a half. And then when we pulled up on the road, there stood a guard with a gun and motioned us with that gun to pull over. Now, I'm telling you, that's a different world. That's a different world than I was ever in. And when we got on the plane and was coming home, and Rhonda was standing there, she said, "I believe there's some shops up here on the next floor." And I had my eye on the door where I said, "I'm not leaving. If you want to go to the shops, you go right ahead. When they call me, and if you're not back, I'll be on the plane when you get back." I love the Acox. I love Brazil, but I was ready to come home. And on the way home on that plane, and when we landed in the United States, I'm going to tell you a thought that I had. Even if something was wrong, I knew that when I got to the United States, I'd be treated justly. I'd be treated in the right way, and it wouldn't be a bunch of people just trying to scam money out of you. And I thought that was the peace that I had to coming home. Even if I was in trouble, I'd be done justly. That's Jesus Christ. He's just. He's righteous. His judgment is righteous. And he'll treat you right. And then know that we can come to him, and he don't have something up his sleeve, and it's something to his benefit that he's pure and righteous and holy and just. Glory, hallelujah. That's our king that's coming. That's the one that rode in on the donkey. And guess what? That's the one that's coming on the clouds back to get us. Praise his name this morning. Glory, hallelujah. He's just. Earlier in this chapter, in right at the first of it, it was talking of Alexander the Great coming in. And everybody trembled over him coming in. And it was a prophecy of him coming around all the cities and stuff around them. But he said, "But your king's coming that's just." Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. I tell you, you don't appreciate justice or someone that's just until you've been with somebody that's unjust. Somebody that you can't trust. Somebody that you can't believe. Somebody that you don't know that they're conniving. At their, if they tell you something, if they give you a sandwich, you don't know whether to eat it or not. Yeah. Amen? Amen. If you eat, if ain't nothing wrong with it, they'll be wanting something for it. Amen? But Jesus ain't like that. And he said he'll come just. Your king is just. He goes on and says, and having salvation. Glory, hallelujah. Are ye thankful today for salvation? Amen. That's why the Bible says rejoice. That's why the Bible's saying get excited. That's why the Bible's saying be happy and blessed. Well, blessed we are that salvation has come. Amen. See, here next week we're going to celebrate and everybody will have their best, the prettiest clothes, and everybody will be, and we'll have be hunting Easter eggs, and we'll just be having a good time and enjoying, and have a big meal laid up and be ready to eat in a little bit, but we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came and died, and I tell you, it's okay that he gave his life. It's okay. I love the Christmas story. I love everything. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty and you want to get down to the meat of the matter, it's because there's an empty tomb. It's where we've got victory today. It's because of the resurrection. The Bible talks about the power of the resurrection. And Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life and take it back up. Tear this temple down and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Glory, hallelujah. You talk about the power of Almighty God. That's our Savior. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, for he shall save his people from their sins. Glory, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. I'm glad today, if we are saved and on our way to heaven, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. When God looks upon us, all he can see is Jesus Christ's righteousness. If it wasn't for that righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us, we'd be lost. I sure don't want to stand before God without that. Amen. Praise his name. I better get to moving on. The Bible goes on and says he's just, having salvation, and lowly. He's mild and gentle. Matthew 11:29, the Bible said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Aren't you glad that, unlike a lot of other religions, that he don't have a bunch of demanding things that we have to do? Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says we are created unto good works, and we're supposed to work, and we're supposed to work, but I tell you, we don't work to be saved. We work cause we're saved. Amen. We work because he's done a work in our lives, and he's created us unto good works, and through these good works that we'll magnify and bring glory and honor to his name. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing ever that we could do that would bring us salvation. Amen. Except trusting in the finished work of the blood of Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't add with to salvation. It ain't Jesus and. It's not you got to do this and. It is Jesus, period. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that I don't have to have a bunch of money. I'm sure glad I don't have to be good looking. I'm sure glad, more than that, that I don't have to be smart. I'm glad that I can depend upon Him and trust in Him and Him get me there. Praise the Lord. Then he said, and riding up on the ass, we come in on a donkey. You know, this was to show the nation Israel that he was prophet and king. There's scriptures, and I didn't run them off, but there's scriptures that puts judgment and judges in with riding donkeys. And when he rode that in, and he came in humble, lowly, peaceful, but came in as a judge, as a prophet, and the king. And he's everything rolled up into one. He is everything that we ever need for the religious reasons. He brings the peace. He brings the humility. He brings the comfort. He brings the joy. He brings the gladness. He brings all the good things. And he came in humble and lowly, riding on a donkey in to Jerusalem. Came in as the Prince of Peace, bringing peace that passes all understanding. Very quickly, I'll get the last point. At first, it was the entrance of humility, and now I want to look in verse 10, the entrance of authority. Bible prophecy is they didn't get the full mystery of the gospel like we have it today. How blessed. Even the prophets of old did not have the understanding that we have. How blessed we are. The Bible says even the angels desire to look into it. And we have what God to be redeemed, a lost soul redeemed and bought back with a price and established and redeemed and give eternal life, what is mind baffling. The prophets didn't even know it. Prophecy was mountaintop prophecy. And right here is a perfect example. Verse 9 was when Jesus came in on the triumphal entry, riding in lowly on a donkey. Verse 10 is his second coming, when he comes back as a righteous judge. This is 2,000 plus years between verse 9 and verse 10. And that's the way prophecy hits. They see mountaintops and all. But he said, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea and from river even to the ends of the earth. And so what we see here, there's Jesus coming back to set up his kingdom. Praise his holy name. I like this verse, and I want to share with you right before we go. Revelation chapter 19. See, he came riding on a donkey his first time that he came. But when he comes back to earth the next time to put his feet back on the earth, they'll not put no crown of thorns on his head that time. Amen. There'll be no spear pierced in his side that time. Nobody will pluck his beard out of his face that time. There'll be no mockery. There'll be no gambling for his garments. His vesture will be dipped in blood. I tell you what, and then the difference that'll be, he's coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and not riding on a donkey, he's riding on a white horse. And when a king rides into town on a white horse, I tell you what, the people trembles because they know what's coming about. He's coming to conquer. He's coming to set his kingdom up, and he's coming to take over. He's coming in vengeance, and he's coming as a righteous leader and a righteous judge.
Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, people today that mocks and makes fun of things, when he comes this time, I'll tell you one thing, and that he comes back and sets his feet on the ground, there'll be every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, I saw heaven open up, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Yes. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head, glory, hallelujah, were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Amen. Yes.
I'll tell you what, this a day that you really want to be on his side.
Amen.
This is when you want to be in with him. And he hath upon his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. I'll tell you what, he came as a baby in a manger. He came riding in on a donkey. But I'll tell you one thing, when he comes back as a righteous Lord and judge of the earth, and he comes back with the fierceness and the anger, the wrath of God down upon because of sin. It is to bring judgment, not that he hates people, on sin. That's why we ought to hate sin. I want to leave you with verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Does anybody know who that is? If you're saved, raise your hand. You've got a white horse with your name on it. Praise the name of the Lord. We come back in the book of Jude 14, I believe it is, and it said that the prophecy of Enoch, he said that I saw him turn with tens of thousands of the saints with him.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. I'm one of them.
Amen.
And you're one of them. I remember when I was a little bitty boy and hearing a preacher preach, and he preached on this, and he said that I want to be so close to Jesus, and he's going to say, back off a little bit, your horse has got his head up here in my way. That's how close I want to be with him. Praise the Lord. See, the Bible says when we die, that we'll forever be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's during everything, forever and ever, we'll be with the Lord. Woo! I don't know about you, but that gets me stirred up to think about forever be with the Lord. That's why the Bible said to rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly great glad. Rejoice that your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice that you're going to return with him and robed in white and on white horses. Rejoice that you're saved. Rejoice that you don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
The Bible says there in Luke that, I believe it's the Luke account, that when they came down off in the triumphal entry, and the Pharisees told Jesus, said, don't let them worship you like that. And he said, I'll tell you the truth, that if he's held their peace, the rocks would cry out.
I'm going to tell you something today. Something that I try to do. I don't want to rock crying out for old preacher boy. I want to shout and praise him and rejoice on my own tongue. And the rocks not have to burst and cry out on my account. I want to go shouting. I want to be praising because he saved my soul. He brought me out of the pits of hell. He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's already, my inheritance is already established. It's already signed, sealed, and delivered. And as we talk in Sunday school, I don't have to wait till I die to know if I'm going to get it or not. The Bible says I've got it and that I believe it and I trust it and I'm going to go ahead and live like and my name's already written down over there, and if I trust in that, then I'm not going to drive my tent pegs too deep over here. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I sure don't want nothing here to hold me back. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray before I start preaching again. Father, we come to you again and thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Jesus, for the transportation that you take. You came in a manger through a woman. You rode into town. You rode in on a boat. You rode into town on a donkey. You left on a cloud. You'll come back on the cloud to call the church out. And then you're going to come back on a horse as a righteous judge. Father, I thank you for your blessings and your mercy and grace. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for who you are. Lord, you've done so many great and marvelous and miraculous things. But I'm not worshiping you today because of what you've done. I'm worshiping you because of who you are. You deserve all glory and honor and praise. You are the King. You are the righteous judge. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Great Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We could go on and on and on. The Rose of Sharon, the Bright Morning Star, the Lily of the Valley, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Praise your holy name, the only potentate, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're my Savior. You gave your precious blood so that I could be saved. And I thank you this morning and praise you and worship you and rejoice in this salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll help each one of us here today to be able to leave rejoicing in the fact had our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I'll stand for the invitation.
Will you come this morning?
Today is the day to take care of it.
And so we sing another verse. I'm going to ask you and invite you. Will you be sure that you know? And another part of that, be sure that your family knows. Leave a testimony. Give a testimony to your family so they can say, boy, I'm sure glad that are saved and know. But on another part of this invitation, I tell you, I think it would be okay if we come around the altar and just praise Him a little bit and just thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for, if nothing else did, had nothing else did, thank Him for this great revival that we just had.
Amen.
Wow, what a charge we got through it. And to think that our name's written down in heaven because of Him.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord. Will you come?
Happy faces like the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed.
Preservation of me. God, thank you for your touch upon my life. Thank you for the call to preach upon my life. Thank you for a wonderful wife and a wonderful family. Thank you for a wonderful church to worship in. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you that I was born in the United States of America. Thank you that I was raised in the Bible Belt. Thank you I was raised with the mom that dragged me to church. Thank you, Lord, for the influence of godly people in my life. Thank you, Father, for moving and moving upon me and leading me down the right path. Praise your name. Thank you that I have hope of eternal life only through Jesus Christ. Praise your name. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for His great revival we had, the great services, all the people that came. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for the ones that's going to be saved. I thank you for the ones that's going to be baptized and join the church. We thank you and praise you. Glory, hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I can hear the church rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, and the bread stands on.
Put extra spring in her step as we go out. Praise the Lord. We're not just riffraff. We're not just a red-headed stepchild. We are children of the living God. Whew. Praise the Lord. That makes demons in hell tremble right there. Glory, hallelujah. And Jesus said, in thy name you'll cast out devils. Man, that's good stuff. Does anyone have anything on your heart?
I'd just like to praise him this morning for reaching down.
Amen.
And touching an old sinner like me.
Praise the Lord. Glory.
Glory. I just praise him. He's worth all
praise. Praise the Lord. Hosanna.
King of kings.
Mm.
Now I know one day he's coming for us.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. We're going to be with him. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Anyone else before we go? Praise the Lord. Well, remember the board meeting at 5 this evening. Come back and come back this evening. Praise the Lord. It's been good. Invite as many folks as you can. I want everybody what we got, don't you? Amen. So hearts and minds clear. Brother Jerry, would you dismiss us?